Good morning. Welcome to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that you're having a wonderful day in the Lord. And I pray that today you're getting ready to go to God's house, that you're preparing to worship Him on this beautiful day that God has given us. We know today that our nation and our economy, everything looks like it's in an upheaval, but I'll come to tell you that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and not to be fearful and not to be afraid, that God will take care of His children. But today we must realize, like Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The bread won't produce the word, but the word of God will produce the bread. And when you stay in God's word, He is going, if He's taking care of the sparrows and He's clothing the lilies of the field, He most definitely is going to take care of His children. Rest assured in that and never doubt that for one minute. Now I'd like to pray with you before I go into the message that God has given me for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your blessings upon my broadcast today. I ask that you touch the hearts of the people. I ask, God, that you move in a special way across our country. God, our country is in such need of revival and a touch from you. I pray that you move in a mighty way across our land. Touch our leaders of our country, Lord. Help them make the right decisions. God, protect our children. Protect our loved ones, I pray. Dispatch angels all about us this day. And Lord, let this broadcast go into the places that you'd have it to go. Cause it to go into the ears and hearts of the people that you'd have it to hear and receive. And I thank you for it. And those that are not born again, give them revelation knowledge and let them know that they must be born again. And I thank you for this. And I know you've heard and answered prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and also in Proverbs 16, verse 25, the two verses says the same thing. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to read that again. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, there's a way that man thinks is right. But any way that's not God's way is going to lead in destruction. And we can see that in our country today. When you take God out of the schools and out of the courthouses and His word out of it, you can't hire enough policemen to keep order because you have lost your moral fiber. You have lost the foundation of keeping a nation safe. You have rejected the hand of God over you and over your nation. And it seemed right in the eyes of man, but it's going to end in death. And we're seeing that now in our country. It's violence on every hand in our streets because America has turned her back on God. But let me tell you, those that are under the divine shadow of the Almighty will be protected. God will take care of us. And God will lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, but we must follow Him. And today, a good example of what I'm talking about, we're found in Luke chapter 15, and starting with verse 11. And most of you are familiar with this verse of scripture. It says, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that follow to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Now, in this portion of Scripture, we're told about two sons. One is called the prodigal son. One is called the older son. And one day the younger son, which is the prodigal son, went to his father and said, listen, I want my inheritance now. And, you know, it was very disrespectful to his father because his father wasn't even dead and he wanted that which come to him. But his father gave him his portion. And the Bible says not many days after he got his money in his pocket, what showed up in his heart came out. You see, I don't care what you got in your pocket. I don't care what you got in your bank account. I don't care what you got in your jewelry box. I don't care what you got sitting in your garage. What's in your heart's going to come out. That don't cover it. And this boy had a riotous living heart. He wanted to get out and taste the things of the world, get out from under his father's house. And I'm talking to a lot of you today. You had that experience. You wanted to leave home. A son told his daddy one time, said, I'm going where nobody's going to tell me what to do. And the father got his hat and coat, and his boy looked at him and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going with you because I've never been to a place where somebody didn't tell you what to do. Even the boys in prison, men and women in prison today, somebody's telling you when to get up, when to go to bed, what side of the line you can walk on, what doors open and what doors shut. You never go to a place that somebody's not telling you what to do. It's best to choose the right path now. Follow the footsteps of God. Have the right heart. And if you got the right heart, you're going to be led in the right direction. But this boy, you know, he wasn't grateful for what he had. And an ungrateful heart is an unhappy heart and a miserable heart. And never satisfied at where you're at. If you notice that people that are unthankful, never grateful for what they have, always wanting more, never satisfied, there are people that are very miserable. They're up one day and down the next, up one day and down the next. And that's a sign that they have an unthankful heart. See, when you're grateful for what you have, you appreciate what you have, and you can be happy and content of where you're at. But this boy, he wasn't appreciative of where he was. He wasn't appreciative that he had a good home to live in, that he had a father that loved him, that he had an elder brother, that he come from a good household that had plenty. He wanted to go out and make his own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He wanted to make his own way. So when this boy left home with his pockets full of money, and let me tell you something, you could have a pocket full of money, but have a bankrupt heart. And I don't care how much money you got in your pocket, it's not going to get you anywhere when your heart's not right. This boy got into a far country, and as long as he had plenty of money, he had plenty of friends. As long as he could party, he had plenty of friends. As long as he could have the good time, he had plenty of friends, so-called friends, he thought. But when his money ran out, it's strange that his friends ran out. You notice that. A lot of people today that get locked up for things that they've done, get in prison for the wrong that they've done, they find out who their true friends are, because when you get in the wrong, the so-called friends, the so-called buddies, the so-called homies are not going to show up anymore. But your true friends will show up. And this young man found out who his true friends were. They were the ones that loved the party. And when the party ended, they left. And the Bible says that he joined himself with a citizen of that country, because when he ran out of money, he also ran into famine. How many of you know that there's a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word of God? We're seeing that today. And this boy, he had a famine. He hit a famine in his life. You know, I see a lot of people that it's more famines than just a famine of bread. They're famines of lack of joy, of happiness, of peace. You can still have bread in your mouth and still be hungry. You can still be in church and you lack salvation. You can have money and houses and family and you still not be satisfied. The only way you can be completely content is to be in Jesus, to rest in Him, and to know that He's your Lord and He's your Savior. But this young man got in a far country, and he got in a place where he joined himself with a citizen of that land. And guess where the citizen of that land sent him in a time of famine? Feeding the hogs. One of the lowest jobs you could get, feeding the hogs. And he was so hungry that he would have eaten the stuff that the hogs ate. That's how hungry he got. When the world gets through with you, that's where you're going to end up. Now, some of you, that is just one breath away from being totally on the streets. One breath away of totally being desolate and cut off because you've chosen the ways of the world and you neglected the things of your father's house. I'm talking about God, your father. A lot of you thought you could do it on your own. You thought you could control the drugs. You thought you could control the alcohol. You thought you could control the violence, but you can't control it. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and it's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. You can't turn it off and on like a faucet. When sin gets a hold of you, the only thing that can break that is true repentance and faith in God. And this boy got in a bad place. He ended up in the hog pens. He was filthy. He had no more money left. He had no more friends. And he was desiring to eat the things that the hogs ate. There's some of you today that are putting stuff in your body that hogs will absolutely not touch. There's some of you today that are absolutely in the hog pens of this world, and you are in a mess. Your life is filthy. Your life is miserable. But I come to tell you there's a way out. There's a way out of the dilemma you're in. And that boy, the Bible says that in the midst of all of this mess that he was in, the Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that he came to himself. And he began to talk to himself. He said, in my father's house, there's plenty of everything. Even the hired servants in my father's house is better off than I am. They got plenty to eat and they got clothes to wear. I'm going to arise and I'm going back to my father's house. And I'm not going to ask him to take me back as a son, but I'm going to ask him to take me back as a servant. You see, when he joined up with the far country, he ended up in the hog pen. And let me tell you something. What you join with is going to determine your destiny. You look around at the people you're hanging with. See what's in their life. See where they're living. See what kind of life they have. Is that what you want in your life? Is that the kind of life that you want? What you join yourself with is going to determine your destiny. I want to say that again. Who and what you have joined yourself with is going to determine your destiny. But this young boy said, I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm going to get up. I'm getting out. I'm going back to my father's house. You know what? He went back home with a different attitude than when he left. When he left home, he left proud and haughty, pocket full of money, fine clothes, thought he knew it all. When he came back home, when he decided to go back home, he didn't have a penny in his pocket. He was filthy. He was nasty. He had hit rock bottom. He found out where the true treasure was, and it wasn't in money. It wasn't in clothes. It wasn't in big cars. It wasn't in the big name friend. It was in the security of his father's house and his father's love. See, money can't buy the father's love. Money can't buy salvation. It takes faith in God. Faith in God, that's what brings us to the cross. That's what brings us to peace. That's what brings us to forgiveness of sin, is asking Jesus to forgive us of the sin that we have committed. This boy got up and he began to go home. And so many times I think about how that boy must have looked going back home to his father's house, how he must have looked on the road going back home. And I have to think about the untold hundreds and thousands of young men and women that my husband and I encountered while trucking for Jesus, taking our mobile chapel on the road, of runaway children and street people, how they looked and the mess that they were in, and how they'd come to our chapel wanting something to eat, or maybe a sweater or a pair of socks or something to get them through the day. And I think about how people might have treated him when they met him on the road. And I want to take this time to talk to you that you're fine. You got clean clothes on. You got money in your pocket. Everything seems to be going good. Be careful how you judge those that don't look good and clean and in a mess and all filed up. You know, that just might be the boy trying to get back home. Don't you be the one hindering him from going back home. Don't you be the one that causes him not to go back home. You be the one that help him on his way to get to the Father's house. I'm talking about God our Father. And when he came to himself, you know, when you hit hard times, when you hit the bottom, that's going to tell you who you really are. That's going to tell you what you're really made of. Anybody, you know, can ride with the big boys and do the big timing, but when the hard times hit, that's going to show up what's really in your life. Because what's in your heart is always going to come out. And on the road of recovery, this is what he said. And this is what worked for him, and it'll work for you. Now, you listen very carefully. Some of you in a mess. Your marriage is in a mess. You're about to lose your children. All kinds of stuff are going on. All kind of mess you're caught up in. But the same road of recovery this boy took is the same road you can take, and it'll bring the same results. First, he had to admit he had sinned. That's what you've got to do. You've got to admit that you have sinned. Second, he got up and he started toward salvation, his father's house. That's what you got to do. You got to get up and make plans to get back into God's house. Third, when he got home The father saw him coming from a long way, and he ran and fell on his neck and welcomed him in. The same thing will happen to you when you say, I have sinned, and you start towards your father's house. God the Father will meet you and fall on your neck and kiss you just like this boy did and forgive you of everything you've done. And he went to his father and said, Father, take me as a servant. I have sinned. And you know what? The father didn't take him back as a servant, but he restored him as a son. God will do the same for you. Let me go over that again. If you want to get on the road to recover and get out of the mess you're in, let me tell you what. You could even be living in a fine home, still be in a mess. No peace, no joy, no satisfaction. You have to acknowledge that you have sinned against God. You have to come to your Father and ask forgiveness, and you have to receive that forgiveness. You see, when that boy got home, and his father received him and called for a robe, put a robe on his back and shoes on his feet. See, the servants didn't wear shoes, but he put shoes on his feet and he put an signet ring on his finger to restore him back in the family. You see, when he done that, he could have refused all that. He could have said, I don't want it. I've done too much. No, listen, you haven't done too much. Receive God's forgiveness. He don't make stepchildren. We're not stepchildren. He don't put you on probation. He takes you in, he forgives you of your sins, and he restores unto you. He restores the joy of the Lord. He puts salvation in you, and he'll take you in as a son, as a child of God. And if you'll receive that today, then the Bible says in God's word that when we come with a repentant heart, God in no wise will cast us out. He'll receive us. A repentant heart restores us. It brings joy and life to that which was dead. Even the father said, we're going to have a party because this my son that was dead is now alive. You see, if you don't know Jesus, you're dead while you yet still live. And when you die, you're going into hell because of the choice that you made, not because it's your father's will. It's a choice you made. And I want to tell you this again. Repentance restores. Repentance brings an end to famine. Repentance brings joy and life to that which is dead. The Lord can restore your marriage. He can restore your children. He can restore your health. He can restore it all. But you must come like this prodigal son. But there was an older brother out in the field that stayed home, worked hard. But you know what? He was in, I guess, worse shape than the younger, because when he found out this boy come back, he jumped his father and he said, now why are you taking him back in who's wasted his living on harlots and riotous living? You know, a religious spirit always wants to blame you for your past sins when your father's forgiven you. But you know what? That young son never come out of the party. Nowhere did I read in the scripture where the young boy says, well, my older brother don't like me. I'm going to come out of the party in the celebration. I'm going to throw my robe down and hit the road. No, he didn't do that. And don't you do that either. There's always going to be somebody that's trying to throw up your past. But once you're forgiven, once you walk that road of restoration and forgiveness, don't let the devil cause you to turn and go back into the ways that seemeth right unto man. And the father went out to the brother and he said, listen, you're ever with me and all that I have is thine. Come on into the party. And then he got to talking about what he didn't have. You never gave me a goat. You never this. You never that. See, he had it all, but he didn't really have anything because he didn't appreciate it. Some of you got it all, but you have nothing because you don't appreciate nothing you got. You don't appreciate your wife. You don't appreciate your husband, you don't appreciate your children, you don't appreciate people that's trying to help you. You'll have 50 people in your life that's trying to help you, and you'll centralize on the one that's done you wrong. Your whole life will be centered on the one that done you wrong. You're always singing that Who Done Me Wrong song. I know a young lady that her father rejected her, but she has grandmothers, grandfathers. She has a stepdad and a mother. She has loved ones that's good to her and blesses her and tries to be good to her and gives to her. But her whole life is centered on the one that rejected her. And that's the way some of you are. Your life is messed up because you centralize on the one thing that you didn't get. The one thing or the one person that didn't acknowledge you when you've overlooked the greatest love ever, and that's God's love. When you got that, you've got it all. Jesus said, I'll be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. He's your all in all. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. the father went to the older son and he said, listen, all I have is yours. You're ever with me. Come into the party. Shouldn't you rejoice because this one came in? So many times when we've got unforgiveness in our hearts, we don't want to forgive others. But the Bible plainly tells us this, and I want you to listen very carefully, that if you don't forgive others, you can't get forgiveness out of yourself. You've got to forgive others. A man come to me and my husband years ago. Someone had done us wrong and done things that really hurt and hurt bad. Hurt in the pocketbook. Hurt our living. And it was devastating. And a man came to us one day and said, you got to forgive him. And oh my, we just blew up at him and said, listen, you don't know what all they've done. And we went in the whole list and this, this, and this, and this. And he said, it don't matter. It's not who's right or wrong. It's who's going to say, forgive me first. You've got to forgive them. And when he left, he didn't leave under our blessing. But when he left, we knew that he told us the truth. And I called him the man with the sandpaper suit on because we had rough edges that God had to rub off of us. And when he left, we got out on our knees and we prayed and asked God to give us grace and help to forgive these people. And he did, and we did forgive them. And that was the turning point of our whole ministry. When we did that, a whole change came in our ministry and it began to flourish and to grow by leaps and bounds. But we withheld it because we wouldn't forgive. So many of you have lived a life of bitterness and unforgiveness and you won't get in a celebration. You won't come in the Father's house. You won't be blessed because you can't forgive that one that done wrong. The Father loved both sons. He had both sons in his house. He had both sons that he loved dearly, and he gave to both of them. One was in the party, one came in repentance, one was in the field, but he was angry and would not go in. The Bible says he was angry and would not go in. Today, I want you to repent. If you're in God's house, if you say you're a Christian, and there's people in your life that you won't forgive, I want you to forgive them. I want you to ask God to forgive them, forgive you for being that way, and walk in love. See, the Bible says charity, God's love, never fails. People know how to hurt people. People know how to react to anger and ugliness. But when you love them in God's love, it disarms them. Because God is love. He doesn't bring us under judgment. He brings us through his love. Not damnation, not condemnation. He said, I didn't come to condemn you, but I come that through me you might have life and have it more abundantly. He died on the cross, and he took your sin and my sin upon him, and he paid that price for your sin and your deliverance and my deliverance, that we could be like that son and come home and be made whole in our Father's house. But the key is we have to receive it. When the Father offered forgiveness and restoration to the younger son, he did not reject it. He received it, and that restored him. The same thing with you. Don't reject it. Receive it. Some of you say, well, I'm in such a mess. I've done too much. It's not too hard for God. It makes no difference where you're at. It makes no difference what the situation is. Jesus loves you. Some of you young people, some of you older folks, some of you today, men, women, young folks, I'm talking to you, you're locked up because of some things that you've done. But I'm telling you, no matter what you've done, God wants to come in that cell where you're at right now and bring a party to you of rejoicing. And you know that no bars and no locks can keep out God's love. No sin and transgression can keep him from loving you once you've repented and asked forgiveness of that. No pit, no hole, no darkness, no storm can keep out the love of God. No trial, no tribulation can separate you from the love of God. When you choose to receive that salvation, when you choose Jesus, you've chosen life. Don't reject it today. Don't turn him away. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And when he does, we're going home to be with him and there to feast with him for that marriage supper of the Lamb. And then a time will be released on this earth like has never seen before. And you can see it coming, people. You can see it coming. Don't be left behind, but be ready when Jesus comes back. Be like that prodigal son. Come to yourself and say, hey, I'm not staying here anymore. I'm not eating this slop. I'm not eating with this hog pen. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going to find me a preacher somewhere. I'm going to find me a church. Right now, if you can't find a preacher, can't find a church, pull the car over, get on your knees by your bed in that jail cell, no matter where you're at home in your living room, no matter where you're hearing this message, say, Jesus, forgive me. I've sinned, and I want you to take me in. And right then and there, if you mean it with your heart, you'll be born again. You'll be born again. And let him lead you. Let him guide you. And let him direct you. And he said, I'll lead you in the paths of righteousness, the right way of living, for his name's sake. He said, Blondie, I'm afraid that I can't live right. None of us can. That's why we have God's grace. He'll give you grace, his unmerited favor, to help you live right and do right. And the Bible says he'll give it to you in the fullness and abundance, and it comes by Jesus. See, when you receive Jesus, you get the grace of God with it as well. He'll help you to live right and do right. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today. Tune in to my website, truckingforjesus.org. If you have a prayer request, write me at my address. I'll be more than glad to pray for you. And I promise to pray for you, but I ask that you pray for me too, that I can keep on keeping on for Jesus and keep on preaching the Word of God and be faithful. God bless you today. And remember, the day is the day of salvation. And remember, God is faithful, and with him all things are possible. And I want to quote the saying that R.W. Shambach had on the side of his trailers, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. I want to say that again. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And faith is the thing that pleases God. And faith is simply taking God at his word. What his word said, he will watch over it to perform it, and it will not come back void. Believe him today, walk in his word, and walk by faith, and get in a celebration of the Lord God Almighty. Thank you for listening, and tune again next week for my broadcast.